Our Father and our God, I pray that you anoint me this day to preach your holy gospel in this sanctuary. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint me this day to preach and to stand firm and to stand boldly on your holy word. Father, I pray that you will anoint this congregation that we hear your word. We listen to your word. We heed to your word. Anoint us, O Heavenly Father, that we hear you speaking to us in this holy sanctuary this day. And then, Father, I pray that you will anoint us, each one of us, myself included, to live out your holy word when we leave this sanctuary this day. And I ask it in the precious, holy, righteous name of King Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our King. Amen.
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 Today, the theme, you might want to write this down. The theme is in the name of Jesus.
All right.
In the name of Jesus. Write that down. In the name of Jesus. And then write down the message for today. The message for today, and then you'll have a clue as to where the scripture is coming from. But the message for today is such as I have.
All right.
Such as I have. That's the message for today. And the message can be found in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. And I'll be reading today. And I'm sorry I didn't get to tell you guys last week, but I'll be reading from the King James Version, because the King James Version does this particular scripture very good.
Well.
And so it's things we need to pick up and point out that King James has.
Amen.
So in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
You may be seated in God's holy temple. The Bible says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter said that. Peter was on his way to the temple, and with him was John. And so when Peter got to the temple, he met a man, and the man was lame.
Yeah.
And the man had been lame from birth. And the man was asking for alms. He was asking for charity. He was asking for a handout. And so Peter and John, two preachers, and you hear a lot of ministers preach a sermon called Two Broke Preachers. They're talking about Peter and John, two broke preachers. But these preachers weren't really broke, because what they had to give this man was way worth more than silver and gold.
Yeah.
They weren't broke.
Yeah.
They just didn't have or wasn't going to give the man what he was looking for.
Yeah.
He was looking for some money, for a handout. And there's a reason why he was at this particular place. But then Peter spoke up. Typically, when you read about Peter and John, you read about James being with them. But James wasn't with them this time.
No.
It was just the two.
Amen.
You know, they were Christ's inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But it was just those two at this time. Don't know where James was, but they were on their way to the temple to pray. But anyway, the question is this. How is Peter able at this point to make such a strong and bold and mighty statement to this lame man. Mm-hmm. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't get it wrong. There were a lot of people named Jesus at the time. So Peter wanted to make sure that everybody got the right one. So he said, in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, the anointed Savior from Nazareth, Mary's baby, the son of Joseph, a carpenter's son, but he is also the son of the living God. I'm talking about this Jesus from Nazareth, Galilee. Nothing good come out of there, but Jesus came from there. I'm talking about that Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yes, sir.
How could he make such a bold and mighty statement? Because we're talking about this same Peter that asked the Lord when he saw him walking on the water, Lord, can I come out there and walk on the water with you? Jesus said, come on. So he started out walking on the water, and then he lost focus. He took his eyes off of the Lord and started to sink. That same Peter, he had a lapse in faith, but now he's making a bold statement. Guess what? When we take our eyes off of the Lord, we sink too. We sink into the depths of sin. And if we don't be careful, we'll sink and never rise. There's a song that says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply, staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now say, am I? God is a good God. Peter had a change. This same Peter that fell asleep when Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane and asked them to watch, Peter, along with the other two, fell asleep. And so when the soldiers came to get Christ, he had to ask them, well, what are you guys doing? They were asleep. And when they were asleep, they were supposed to have been watching for Christ, watching out for him, got his back, but they fell asleep. And so when they fell asleep, their task of watching went undone. I guarantee you, we have fallen asleep on Christ too. And the task, the purpose that Christ has given us is being left undone because we're sleeping on Christ. Christ told us to do this, and we said, no, Lord, because I'm afraid. No, Lord, because I need to do this. No, Lord, we're asleep on Christ. And the task that Christ has for us has been left undone. Peter had a lapse in faith. Same Peter that was warming himself outside of the courtyard when Jesus was being persecuted, prosecuted, beaten, talked about, scorned. Saint Peter, warming himself by the fire, had a lapse in faith. Denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, whatever it's called, before the cock said, cook-a-doodle-doo. Oh, cock-a-doodle-doo, thank you. Denied Jesus, denied him. And then to make sure, you know, this is the clincher. He didn't just deny Jesus, but this young maiden said, oh, no, 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 no. I know that you're one of his disciples. So this same Peter, he said, no. And to prove that I'm just like you, I'm going to cuss. And he cussed. It's cursed, but we say cuss. He used some language so that they would know that he was not with this Jesus, because being with this Jesus, you don't talk like that.
Well.
You don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. So Peter wanted to make sure that they knew he wasn't one of them. But Peter had a lapse in faith, and so do we. I promise you that we have cussed before. I promise you, as holy and as righteous as we are, you let somebody cut us off on the expressway or on the street, and then they shoot us a, that beautiful finger. I guarantee you, we got some charged words for them. And it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. You let, well, you get the point. Stomp your toe in the middle of the night. I did that one time. And I was walking. I stomped my toe and my knee. And you know what I did? I said, got to be more careful. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. And you too. But I tell you how Peter can make such a bold statement right now. Because I have ascertained, well, let me put it this way. I have learned, I have found out, that's what ascertained means. I have found out that Peter had a personal encounter with the Master.
That's right.
He had a personal encounter with the Master. You remember when Peter had left Jesus after his death, and Peter forsook his calling to preach the gospel. And instead of fishing for men, he had gone back to fishing for fish, which was his business. And he was out there fishing on this boat when Jesus was on the shore. And Jesus called out to him, hey, y'all catch anything? Of course they hadn't. But anyway, Peter realized, or John, whichever one, they all realized who it was that was calling out to him. They realized that it was Jesus. And so they got out of the boat and ran to shore to meet Jesus. And Jesus had a nice breakfast waiting for them. And they came. And Jesus had a nice fire there for them so that they could warm themselves. And this is the wonderful thing about this. Because Jesus asked Peter some questions. Jesus asked Peter one question three times while Peter was sitting there having fish, eating breakfast early in the morning with Jesus and the other disciples. Jesus took Peter off, and as Peter was warming himself by the fire, just like he did the night when he betrayed Christ, warming himself by the fire and denied Jesus three times, Jesus said, I got three questions for you. Woo! Jesus is good. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yay, Lord, I love you. Well, I can imagine Jesus saying, what in God darn then are you doing out here fishing on this boat, trying to catch some fish to make a living? Didn't I tell you to feed my sheep? So Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, why is he done this the second time he done asked me this? Yeah, but Peter, you denied him three times. So Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, well, yay, Lord. Gosh darn it, I love you. As Brother Hart would say, gosh darn it. I say, gosh darn it. But anyway, Peter said, yay, Lord, I love you. So Jesus said, well, feed my lamb. Well, And so Jesus will wait a little while, getting on Peter's last nerve. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You ask your spouse, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want to act like it. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you really love me? I really do love you. Well, why don't you? Do you really, really love me? Yes! I'm mad now. I told you I love you 3 gold darn times, and you're still asking me that. So Jesus asked Peter a third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know my heart. You know everything, Lord. Peter had a personal encounter with Jesus that morning. Lord, you know my heart. I'm broken now because you had to ask me a third time, do I love you? And Lord, you know that I love you. Please, Jesus. And Jesus said, well, be my sheep. Peter had been reinstated. Peter had been recalled, had to remind him what he was supposed to do. Yeah. And Jesus said, be my sheep. And that's a bold statement that Jesus made.
Yeah.
And it's one that we can depend on today, because people will think you can lose your salvation. Peter was called by the Lord God Almighty, and he don't make a mistake. So once saved, guess what? Always saved. Even if we do like Peter and backslide, God will call us back. We are never lost when it comes to the Lord God Almighty. Don't ever think that you're lost. You got a wayward child that's out yonder. If he ever believed in Christ, he ain't lost. In time, God will call him back. But he's got some lessons to learn out there in the world. He has to understand that there are people that will cause us to falter and to fail, but God never fails. They'll be back. They'll be back. Once saved, always saved. And that's something we can hang our hat on.
It's all right, bro.
My point is this. When Peter said to the lame man sitting at the gate called Beautiful, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was saying this, such as I have, I got Jesus. Such as I have the great I am. Such as I have the healer of all nations, Jesus. Such as I have Jesus, the forgiver of sins. Such as I have Jesus, the light of the world. Such as I have Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Such as I have Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Such as I have Jesus, the Word of God. Such as I have Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Such as I have Jesus, the Holy One. Peter was saying this, Holy One, I'll never, ever let you down
no more.
Yeah.
Thank you. No more. What do we say to God? What do we say to Jesus? Jesus is calling us. We got a task for us. And we have let him down. Can we say, Jesus, Lord, I'll never let you down no more? I pray we do. I pray we do. Because God has a purpose for us. No matter how small or how great it might be. We have got to start depending on the Lord and pleasing him.
Amen.
Well, I would like to share a brief story with you. May as well. The title of this story is called The Struggle of the Butterfly. The Struggle of the Butterfly. One day, a man happened upon a butterfly cocoon, and he watched the butterfly as this butterfly struggle to get out of the cocoon. Okay? He was almost completely out, but the man noticed that it seemed as though the butterfly didn't have the strength after struggling for so long to get out all the way. So he felt sorry that the butterfly couldn't get out and that the butterfly had struggled so long and he just was stuck in that cocoon and couldn't get out. The man decided to help the butterfly by taking out his pocket knife and splitting the cocoon the rest of the way. And immediately when the butterfly was released from the cocoon, he fell to the ground. And the man couldn't realize why he didn't take flight. But the butterfly was never to fly. You see, as the butterfly is in the cocoon during those last critical minutes, God designed him to struggle by flexing his wings. And the more he flexed his wings, the stronger his wings got. And the more he struggled, no matter how tired he got, he had to keep struggling to break through that cocoon. And once he could break through that cocoon, his wings had gained strength. And he would be able to burst through that cocoon and start to fly above all that mess that's on the ground. And that's the way God does us. We struggle, but in our struggle, God is building up our faith. Building up our strength, building us up to depend on him and him only. But we don't like to struggle. So what do? We fall to the ground. And when we fall to the ground, we get trampled over, stepped on, and then we wonder, God, what's wrong? We didn't go through our struggle. We ain't got no strength. We fell out too soon. Stick with God. Stick with the struggle. And thank God for the struggle. Because when you come through it, you'll come through it like pure gold. We are all precious in his sight. We ought to be thankful for the struggle. Because that means God loves us. And he's giving us, building us up, strengthening us. So whatever the situation is, got a brain tumor, go through the struggle. Got a debilitating disease, go through the struggle. Got a wayward child, go through the struggle. It'll work out. God is just that good. Okay. We're going to read, and then I'm going to be done. We're going to read Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, we'll stop at 6, because I don't want to, maybe 6, I don't know. But anyway, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. As I said earlier, James wasn't with them, but they were together. And that together mean more than just them walking together. They were together in their purpose. And so they were going to the temple around the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, late afternoon, and they were going to the temple to pray like they usually do. And on their way to pray, the Bible says this, verse 2, and a certain man, okay, when the Bible says a certain man, that's a real person. This certain man, the Bible says, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Somebody loved this lame man.
Yeah.
Somebody loved this lame man.
Yeah.
They didn't just cast him aside because he was lame, but they took him to the east side of the temple, the gate called Beautiful, where the court of the Gentiles and the women were. On that east side, all of the dignitaries, for the most part, went in over there. All of the big shots with the money. And so they laid him at that beautiful gate. You don't want to, you know what? A lot of us just come in through the back because that's us. But the front is so much more beautiful. You got green grass and beautiful trees, but we just come through the back. But anyway, they laid him at this beautiful gate so that he could ask for money. And as he laid there, lame from his mother's womb, never could walk, never did walk, never thought he would walk, he saw Peter and John. He was about 40 years old, so he was pretty sure he wasn't going to walk ever. But anyway, they were going to the house of the Lord to pray. Verse 3, the Bible says, this man then, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for some alms. I need some charity. I need some help. I'm a beggar, and I need some money. I need something. Please, can you help me? Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look at me, what Peter was saying. Look at me, look at us. Look at us. You see all these big shots going in there with their beautiful robes on, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, and the priests, and all the Levitical workers in the temple. They all looking good. They all got their big money, and they all putting their big money in, and they all walking right by you, not even noticing you. Come on, mega churches. I need a jet. You got a jet. I need another jet. What? But anyway, so the man asked for an arm, and Peter said, look at us. We ain't got all of that. That's not us. We're not that way. We're like Jesus. Jesus didn't have anywhere to lay his head, and boy, we barely got a place to lay out. And so anyway, verse 5, the Bible says, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. See, Peter messed with the man's psychic. Peter said, look at us. Oh, and the man gets excited. Somebody's finally going to give me something. Somebody's finally going to help me. What are they going to give me? They're going to give me some money. That's what I need. That's what they're going to give. They're going to really bless me because they told me to make sure to look. Because when a beggar is at the gate begging, they don't look at you. They have to look down, and they looking down say, would you please help me? Would you give me something? Because they don't feel worthy to look upon you, and you certainly shouldn't be looking upon them. And so he was begging with his hands out, will you give me something? Help me. And then when Peter said, look at us, he said, ooh, never had that before. Yeah, I'm looking wide-eyed because I'm going to get something. And so Peter says something that the man wasn't expecting. Bible says, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I think in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, some of us need to rise up and walk. We have been lying on our bed of unbelief.
Yeah.
We have been lying on our bed of no comfort in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We have been lying on our beds in I can't do. Yeah. I don't know. Where is God? What am I? Who am I? I need, I need, I need. We need to rise up and walk worthy of our vocation in which we have been called.
Yeah.
And when we do, we're going to get something.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
The Bible says this. Some of us need help. Some of us need help. This man had never walked. 40 years old. Some people say 38. He's about 40 years old. It doesn't matter. The point is, this man never walked before in his life. And when somebody say, oh, why don't you rise up and walk? And he look at them like, what? You don't know that I haven't walked ever in my life? And so Peter did something really kind to him that they don't, that the priests and the Pharisees and the other preachers wouldn't do. Brother Butler, let me tell you what Peter did. Peter took him by the hand, say, get up. Get up. Get up. Okay, you see. Get up. Where's your faith? All of us should have the faith to rise up anyway. This man had no faith. He never had anybody to help him do anything. And so Peter said, I got you. I got you. Give me your hand. Rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the hand. And when Peter took him by the hand, he felt the power of God go through his body. And the man gets up and he's jumping and he's leaping. Where is the power of God in us? We sit here week after week like a knot on a log, like God hasn't done anything but get the heck up and show God that you love Him. Show Him something. God has done some great things for us. Get up.
Come on. Stop, son. Stop, dude.
Yes, sir.
Man got up. Never walked before.
Never.
He started praising God.
Yeah.
He didn't praise Peter.
Right.
He didn't praise John.
Yeah.
Who are we praising?
Right.
Praise the pastor? No. Don't do that. Praise that mega church preacher. Don't do that. Give God the glory.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Everything we do is by the power of the Lord God Almighty. And if it wasn't for Him, we couldn't do a goddamn thing.
Not one.
Not one.
Come on.
Come on.
All right.
Hey.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Make it plain.
Amen.
Hey.
You're right.
So the Bible says, verse 7.
Yes, sir.
And He took him by the right hand. I told you there's something about right and left. Put your net on the right side of the boat and get some fish. Took him by the right hand and he got up. The Bible says, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
Wow.
It don't take God long to move. It don't take Him long to move at all. All we have to do is trust Him and believe in Him.
Yeah.
I was telling Sunday school men's class this morning, you know, God is different from us.
Amen.
God is different from us. We think that God tarries, that it takes God a long time sometimes to deliver us. We go a year without a job. We go this long without a job. We go that long without whatever we want. And we think that God don't know it and God hadn't seen us. God is from everlasting to everlasting. We are the ones that are limited by time. God is not. God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. And so when our tomorrow comes later, God is looking at it and He has already delivered us. He's already done it. And we say, Lord, how long should I wait? That's what Habakkuk was saying. And God said, you wait as long as I tell you to. Because I have already got it done. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. But Habakkuk, because you have not been faithful to me. Right. So as long as I want you to, you will go through this development. Check it out, though. Yeah. They're going through it.
Yeah.
Through it. They're not being stuck in it. God is taking them through something to make us better. And then when the right time comes, he's going to take care of those Galder and Chaldeans, those Babylonians.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of them. Yeah, we got to go through something.
Yes.
We have to struggle.
Yeah.
Struggle.
Yeah.
And in our struggle, we're gaining strength.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. 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 Oh, man. Yeah. I know you right now. Woo. My.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm going to stop there. My point is this.
Thank you, Jesus.
What is it that you have that you can say, such as I have, give I you? What is it? What is it that you have? Well, such as I have is hope in Jesus. Such as I have is faith in Jesus. Such as I have is salvation in Jesus. Such as I have is everlasting life in Jesus. Such as I have is fellowship with the Father in Jesus. Such as I have is rest and peace in Jesus. Such as I have is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Such as I have is a crown in glory one day in the name of Jesus. And I will live throughout all eternity with the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
And you have it too.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
But we got to act like it.
Right.
We have to act like it. In the name of Jesus, such as I have. Okay. I'm done. So, in closing, I'd like to leave you with this.
Right.
Remember the butterfly from the introduction? He couldn't fly because his struggle was cut short. Don't give up on your struggle. God is working a great work in our struggle. When we struggle, can't pay this bill, God is working something out in us. You can't pay your bill. What is it that you need to do? Get a job, perhaps. When you can't pay your bill, maybe what do you need to do? Stop spending your money recklessly. When you can't pay your bills, what must you do? Try tithing and see what God will do. See what God will do. You know what? I never had a problem with tithing because I don't tithe. Y'all say, what? He don't tithe? You know, the Lord said, give as it purposes you in your heart, as you propose in your heart. I take the tithe, that's my base, 10%. That's a giver. And so I give more than the 10%. That's not tithing. Tithing is sticking with the 10%. But when you give more, you're not tithing anymore. You're thanking God and blessing God for what he has done for you. You give God more. God, I can't help myself. You've been so good to me. I can't just give you this little bit of 10. I got to give you 20, 30, 40, 50% more. Because you have blessed me tremendously. And God is all right with a little old bit of 10 when he gives us so much more. Think about it. Change the way you think.
All right.
And see what God will do. See what God will do.
Yes.
He's okay with you giving you 10%. But when you show that you love him even more than that 10%, my God, he'll open doors you never knew. So, Peter discovered that there is healing in the name of Jesus. He discovered, this man discovered there's love in the name of Jesus. This man discovered there's joy in the name of Jesus. And there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Now, Peter, when the Lord reinstated him, recommissioned him, the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yea, Lord. Butterfly. Yea, Lord. Jesus said, this boy ain't got it yet. So Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus said, yea, Lord. Huh? Peter said, yea, Lord. I love you. Jesus said, okay, how about this? I asked you to feed my sheep. Yea, Lord. Ask you to feed my lamb. Yea, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Lord! Lord! You know my heart! Lord! You know everything about me! Lord! You know!